I thank God for days like this, for when other people would find plenty of good reasons to not be here. Sometime down the road, if I'm still here, God puts in my remembrance nights like this. He speaks to me about the words that people have spoken, and I hear people's testimonies, and I see and hear in my spirit how people worship and cry out, and it encourages me. So many people may not find the value of being where you are tonight, but I would take it as an honor and a privilege to have another chance to be in the house of God. You never really know when the last time's going to be. You just go about your life assuming every single time you want to go that you'll get to go. But one day you may not be able to. So I would say, while you have the mind to take it in, not just be a hearer, but be a doer of it too. Let's get into the Word of God tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians. In the second chapter, we'll go ahead and begin to read. We'll start at verse 1, and we'll work through verse 11. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow for them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me. Say that phrase tonight. He hath not grieved me. But in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. So that, contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm, say that word tonight, confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you. Say, the proof of you. Whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it. For your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Tonight I want to start at verse 11 and work my way back a little bit. And as we read in verse 11 of the word device, I want to bring out what that word is trying to imply. A device can be thought of as being a tool to carry out a certain function. But you can read in the context that the implication is that the device that we're reading about here is primarily a mental thing. We're talking about the ensnarement that Satan can put in people through something that starts out as a good thing, but ends up turning sour over time. Satan is clever and crafty. He possesses ingenious subtlety, but he also has a particular way of doing something that presents us with clues about his influence, and it tends to give him away, rendering much of his cleverness inoperative and making him easy to defeat. That's right. I said the word easy to defeat. Let me read another scripture to add unto this tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pay attention to verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against what? The knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Tonight, as we're here and gathered together in this place, God has been speaking in my spirit. We've been preaching it. You know, we've been preaching about being aware and discerning and looking for the enemy and trying to understand him. But tonight I want to go a little bit deeper in what it means to really be aware. Because sometimes we know that we want to be spiritually aware. We get down and pray and say, well, God, lead me to know and understand where the enemy is. Help me to know when to do the right thing. Help me to know when to make the right decision, when to go, when to back up, when to stay still. Help me, lead me, guide me. We've got the prayer in. We're praying. We're seeking for the direction. But then when it comes to application, the devil comes in to try to slip in his cunning and cleverness to get us to slip. There are people that I know personally today that it started out as people that were really in trouble, suffering in great need. And I saw them as they began to develop a trust with God. Their heart began to be with hope again. And they began to be lifted up again. And they began to receive encouragement and realize they didn't have to stay in the same mess that they were in anymore. And as they begin to be lifted up, there's a season where they have a zeal. They have a desire to be in the house of God. They have a want to be there. They want to do something. They want to be busy. They want to be active. And as we begin to go through and begin to be active for Christ, as we know, persecution is soon to follow. As you begin to magnify the gospel of Christ, as you begin to witness to people, get up and sing and testify and stir the spirit up in a church house, you're going to begin to go through things. Whether it be fatigue and physically or mental fatigue or things beginning to wear on you, things are going to begin to try and attack you. So we know that with every good thing we go to set out to do, the devil is going to try to find a moment where his cleverness will cause you to stumble. So we go from doing a good work and a good thing and having things come to us in the moment where it is good to try and infiltrate and change our frame of mind. We go from being able to enjoy God to all of a sudden things begin to happen in the middle of a good season. And we begin to ask ourselves why. There's not too many places that you can search for on the internet and listen to about evangelists beginning to try to talk about how to spot the enemy and where he sits. We all know when it generally feels like that somebody doesn't know God, and when you try to worship in the presence of someone that either doesn't know God or someone that knows God but is rejecting the anointing, you can generally know what that feels like. We all have that understanding. We know when something's going good and going bad, when people come together, when they don't come together. We understand when unity is not fully present, right? So we have that kind of understanding. But then I begin to think about some of the things that happen in my daily life. Like those moments when you're in the middle of having a good day, and it's just like somebody says something that shouldn't bother you. But in the moment where it is injected at, we're not becoming aware of what's actually happening when it happens. How many of you know what we're talking about tonight? So you're going through your motions of life, and as we're on top of the mountain, how many of you will testify you're not fighting as hard as you did when you were in trouble? We'll come, if we're in a good place, we'll come in the house of God and give him whatever we can give because we feel good. But how many of you know when you get in trouble, you don't feel like doing anything? So the devil wants to intervene and infiltrate in your dominion as you begin to grow in God. As you begin to grow, Satan's going to begin and come in to infiltrate against you. Because the things that he works in goes beyond just what people do in the flesh. You see, they're going to do something to come against you. But what he's doing is seeping in past when you are letting your guard down. When somebody begins to bother you, then the supernatural thing takes place and begins to try to speak to you. How many of you have ever been having a good moment but have that voice inside of you try to talk to you and make you not feel good about who you are, not let you feel good about what you do, not let you feel worth anything? How many of you have ever heard that kind of discouragement before? We know it. We recognize it. We know it's about us. We know it speaks to us. And by the time that we get through listening to it, we're so fed up and aggravated, we don't want to do anything at all. So in the middle of a good moment, I'm trying to get this to you tonight. When you are in a good season, this is the moment where you should begin to open your eyes to start looking for where the enemy is trying to get in. Because there will be good things that are around you, but not everything that looks good is good for you. There are a lot of things that would tempt you to be more busy. A lot of things that would tempt you to ingest on yourself to make you not feel as good in your body. There are things that are out there to attack you and to destroy you. Because ultimately, he wants to get into where your warfare is truly fought. Because if he can get and seep into your supernatural being, if he can come in and affect who you are in the supernatural, then the supernatural, when it is weak, the natural won't feel like doing a thing. So I've seen people, and they're going through it now, and I'm praying for them. They go from being in a good situation to beginning to accept things that are beneath their character, beneath their standards, beneath who they should be as a Christian, because it is presented in a time when you are in a good place. I'm here to tell you that you don't look for the devil only when you're in trouble. You've got to learn to recognize him when things are going well in your life. Let's go back to the beginning for a moment before I start preaching. And think about how Adam and Eve had everything going well. And how that as they were going through their lives, they encountered a situation where a serpent intervened in a time where it was good for them. He didn't present them something that looked bad that would make them think bad of themselves. He presented it in such a way to them to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge that it looked good to them. Satan is not going to come to you and always talk about bad things. He can use some things to make you feel bad and make a good feeling out of it because of what you do in your anger. Satan comes to infiltrate in your emotions. He comes to infiltrate inside of your train of thought. He comes to mess up how that you're wanting to dedicate yourself to reading the Bible every day, dedicate yourself to praying all the time. I hear people tell me all the time, I remember when we could really used to get the hold of God. I remember when people would pray and serve God and have church till midnight. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is slipping in the middle of good situations and taking good people down because we're not getting a mindset to start looking for him when things begin to go well. When God gives me something good, I know that there's going to be something that will try and take what has been given to me. If you have been given any good thing from God, chances are you have been challenged to give it up. I've been challenged to quit my calling so many times, I can't even count it on fingers, hands, toes, and feet, and ears. I can't even begin to count all the times that Satan has tried to discourage me. He didn't discourage me from wanting to go out and drink. He didn't discourage me from wanting to go out and do drugs. All that he is interested in is keeping the promotion of the gospel from happening. So you can be even sitting in a sanctuary where everybody is dressed up and looks pretty, but even in the middle of a good situation, there are supernatural things that begin to happen to come against what is meant to be a good thing. And until we learn to see when the enemy is really seeping into a good thing, then we'll know and learn and understand how to take authority when we see him coming. I've told people no before when they've asked me something because I didn't feel at peace about it. I didn't have any reason to reject their offer, their invitation, but there's something that spoke to me that told me to not do it, to not go. Did they get mad at me? You bet your biscuits they got mad at me. I've had people reject me because of my choices. But as long as I am following the will of God, he says that he takes these things and begins to work all of that for my good. So I've learned that if you can see the enemy in something and put your foot down and assert your dominance over the enemy, then even when he tries to bark and bite at you, you already have the victory over this thing because that which he wanted to attack, he did not take. If we all want to grow up in God, there's something that you've got to learn right now. You will never be in a place where you're never under attack. He is roaming to devour you. He is roaming to devour you. And the very moment when you don't feel like prayer is important, the moment where you feel like that you begin to be okay without doing the things the Word of God says, then those are the moments when he begins to slip in upon you, to speak to you, to mess with you, to get you away from what you're called to do. And there's some things that I want to tell you tonight. Number one, we know his voice. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you are so keen unto praying to God and hearing him speak to you that when the enemy would try to speak through others in the middle of a good situation to get you steered away from where you need to be, then you'll be well aware of that voice. You'll know that it's distinctly different from another voice. How many of you know the voice of your children? You could put them in the middle of a crowd, and if they cried out for you, you would know where they were. Just the same way that you could be in the middle of the worst storm of your life, but if God spoke to you, you would know that he did. We hear him as he speaks to us. And I'm glad that I know the difference. Because here's the truth of the matter. I have spared myself of so much trouble just by listening to when God would tell me to go one way or another. I've turned down appointments before because I've heard God tell me no. I've stopped preaching in the middle of a sermon because he had me to quit. I've been in the middle of a song and people want us to keep singing, but I felt like something else needed to happen and we'd go sit down. I've been in situations where I was scheduled to go and do something, but the anointing of God moved and something went another way. And you know what? I was good with that, because had it went any other way, it wouldn't have prospered. There have been situations where had I not heard from him to teach me, to guide me, that I would have put myself through so much more than what I was meant to go through. Now, you don't have to be old to understand this right here. If you begin to listen to God long enough, you're going to know where the enemy sits. You'll know where he's at. You'll know what he's trying to do against you. Because I know that even in times when he tries to come against me, you know what? I already see where he is. I already know when he's trying to attack. And I'm here to tell you right now that it is not easy to tell you what I'm about to say. But even when you're obeying God, you're going to know where the enemy's sitting at, and you're going to know how he's going to hinder and try to come against you. I'm here to tell you that everybody that's sitting under the sound of my voice does not like what I'm saying right now. Some people think it should have went another direction, and we're sitting in a little bit of disagreement right now. But I'm here to tell you that if we begin to pray and discern and have the Spirit of God in us to know the difference of something, then we won't be led astray by something and it be like the blind leading the blind. I don't want to be led astray to make bad choices. I don't want to be in the middle of a good situation and see it taken from me because I wasn't willing to listen to the voice of God. I cannot tell you how many times that the Lord has encouraged this church and to remind them that he is calling them to move up higher. I cannot tell you how many times that I have heard the sermon preached that revival is coming. Yet we don't act like that any good thing is coming, because when we're in the middle of something good, we don't have time to listen to what God has to say. And as he is trying to speak to us, he's not only trying to say there's revival coming, but you need to watch out for this trouble. You don't want me up here tonight to try to warn you of any trouble. You want me to tell you that everything's going to be okay. But until for everything to be okay, you've got to learn how to weed out trouble when it tries to come your way. If you want to be stable, you've got to learn to weed out the weed and the tares. You've got to learn to be a separate people, to listen to when God would speak to you. Number two, we are taught to know better. How many of you ever heard when you were growing up, you know better than that? John 14 and 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your" what? "Remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." That is giving us the ability to not replicate failure. You don't have to suffer the same way that you did at one point in your life. If God blessed you out of something, then he wanted you to have victory over it. My Lord and my God, if he gave you the ability to worship, then he wants you to worship always. If he gave you the ability to pray through when you felt low, then he wants you to pray always. If he gave you the Word of God and it inspires you when you read it, then he wants you to read the Word of God always. But where we don't take the time that we need to be dedicated in what God instructs us with when he speaks to us, then in the middle of a good situation, it goes bad. I'm talking about people being on Facebook and getting messaged by somebody that's a friend, and it turns out to be way much more than what they bargained for. I'm talking about people that you used to know tries to reunite with you and then gets in your situation and causes your marriage to be on the rocks. I'm talking about people that try to get you to put your money in something, invest in something, to buy something for recreation, when God's trying to tell you to hold in the things that He's blessed you with for the time that you would need it. I'm talking about situations that we all don't want to admit that we failed in, but if we had listened to God in the middle of it, we wouldn't have suffered that thing. I'm here to tell you right now, there are many times that I could have spared myself if I had just kept my mouth shut. There had been many times if I had just stood still, I could have spared myself from much trouble. But we seem to only learn when we fall flat on our back. But God is saying, I saved you to keep you on your feet. I saved you not to only pick you up when you fall. I have saved you to establish you. I have brought the Spirit of God unto you so that you would have the understanding to know and understand the will of the Father. Number three, we know what to examine. Verse Samuel 16 and 7 says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh what? On the heart. He is looking into the part where spiritual warfare is happening. Because there's people that come into church all the time that are so broken, they're ready to take their own life. They're so distraught. But yet we only come in are concerned about worshiping for our blessings, worshiping for what we're praying for our own situations. We're so blind to all the trouble that we could be helping in because we're so concerned about only what we can get for ourselves. Some of us only show up just because we want to make sure that we don't have God mad at us. Some of us are only here just because we don't want the pastor to get upset with us. But you need to be here for far greater of a reason than just to be obligated. And you don't need to show up and waste your time when God has given you everything you need to get into the glory of God anywhere that you go. Look over at somebody and tell them you can get in His presence anywhere you are. So when you are in the place where the enemy would come against you, then you can still have God with you in a situation. When you're in the middle of working at your job and people would try to mess with you and you be supernaturally oppressed, then I'm here to tell you, you still have power and authority. You don't have to wait till you get to church to make a difference in a situation where you are. Well, my Lord, if I waited till every time that I ever came to the house of God until I could get things fixed, then I would have already messed it up before I would have ever got here. You've got to learn to fix things when they're happening in the moment. You've got to learn to adjust a whole lot quicker before trouble overwhelms you, because it'll be like a wave of the ocean. One moment it's low tide, but the next moment your back is turned and you're overwhelmed, and then you want to beg the preacher to pray you out of this thing when God has been trying to tell you all along, if you'll just listen unto my voice, then I can lead you out of so much trouble.